welcome to the program, The Spirituality of the Catholic Church, as Father Paul Keenan teaches on God and man in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And now, Father Paul Keenan.
One of the things that I experience over and over again as a priest is how hungry people are right now for spirituality, hungry for something deeper in their lives. You know, we live so much of our life at the surface, and we're encouraged in our society to do that. We live so much of our life just believing that what we see and what we hear and what everybody tells us life is really what life is. And we can just get so discouraged, so very discouraged that way. And most of us really do look for and hope for and want something in our lives that is more than that. We are so taught that success means having certain numbers of goods. We're so taught that success means achieving certain results in our lives. And certainly having those things, there's nothing wrong with them, having those results, being able to measure our success in some way is really very, very important. But isn't life really more than that? I often have a chance to think about St. Augustine and something that he remarked. He said, "Our hearts were made for thee, O Lord, and they shall never rest until they rest in thee." And that really is the key to the whole thing when you stop to think about it, isn't it? Our hearts were made for thee, O Lord, and they will never rest until they rest in thee. But the question is, how do we get there today? How do we get to the thoughts of God? Albert Einstein, the great scientist, said at one point in his life, "I want to know the thoughts of God. All the rest are details." Isn't that interesting? Here's a man who had E equals MC squared, the theory of relativity, all of these great and complicated things going through his mind. And he said, "I want to know the thoughts of God. All the rest are details." And I think that sums up what we want, too. We want to know the thoughts of God. And how do we get there? How do we get there? Well, I think the Catechism of the Catholic Church provides for us a way in which we can get to know the things that God wants us to know in order to be able to live our lives the way we were meant to live them and the way we really want to live them. One of the things that so strikes me about the new Catechism of the Catholic Church is that it is a document of spirituality from beginning to end. I mean, yes, it has four parts. It has a part which is about the creed, and it has a part which is about the liturgy and the way in which we worship, and a part that is about the moral law, the way of Jesus, and a part that is about prayer. But it's not just that last part on prayer that is about spirituality. I think the whole catechism is so exciting because it's really about spirituality from beginning to end. In fact, there are places in the catechism where the church says articles of dogma are really at their root guidelines for our path to salvation in the spiritual life. I mean, they're real rules, they're real statements of right and wrong, but what they do is guide us to that deeper thing. They're signposts to that deeper thing that we're looking for and longing for. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, to me, is so striking because it constantly, from the first page to the last page, from the first paragraph to the last paragraph, stresses that man is made in the image and likeness of God. We are so caught up in this day and age looking for our identity. Who am I? What was I made for? Do I have a purpose in my life? Will I ever be able to find that purpose? I've gotten so far off and so far away from my purpose that I just don't know how I'll ever find my way back. And the Catechism reminds us that, well, it's relatively easy, and it's relatively easy for a couple of reasons. One is that God is always seeking us, and that secondly, we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so really deep down within ourselves is that image of God, which never lets us get completely away from the call of God. We can always go back and turn our hearts around and go back in there, hearing inside of ourselves, in the depths of our hearts and minds and souls, the image of God, the call of God in our lives. And the Catechism tells us that God is always calling us. So what I would like for us to do together in these coming weeks is to take a look at this new Catechism and to think of it as a way of spirituality, a way to answer that restlessness that we all feel in our hearts, a way to know the thoughts of God, and in knowing the thoughts of God, to know the thoughts that we were meant to think, to know the thoughts that will really heal us and help us and set us aright. That's what we're going to explore together in these next couple of weeks. Especially, let's start with the Creed. The first part of the Catechism is the Profession of Faith. And in discussing the profession of faith, the Catechism gives us a really good indication of some of the important tools that we can use in our spirituality. I mean, sometimes we talk about spirituality, and sometimes we say, oh, yes, that's all very lovely and very nice, but what tools do I have to enable me to really be a spiritual person? Well, we're going to find out. The Church tells us. The Church tells us what our tools are, and one of them is the profession of our faith. That creed that we say every Sunday, whether we say the Nicene Creed or the Apostles' Creed, that creed that we say every day when we say the Rosary, that creed is one of the greatest tools that you and I have to keep ourselves on track spiritually, to know who we are, who we were meant to be, what we can hope for, what to do, what not to do, and where we're going. We're going to see that. Let's look. As it starts to tell us about the Creed, the Catechism of the Catholic Church tells us something very profound about ourselves. It uses a double expression because, of course, the Nicene Creed starts off by saying, we believe in one God, and as we say it on Sundays, and the Apostles' Creed says, I believe in God the Father Almighty. And what the Catechism does is very interesting here because it combines those two expressions, I believe and we believe. Often enough, you hear people say, I'm sure you have heard them say that as often as I have, what is the point of belonging to a church, for heaven's sakes? I don't need a church. I don't need a community to go to God. I can go to God by myself. Well, the problem is we can also get ourselves turned away from God by ourselves, and when we do, how hard it can be without the prayers and support and the help of others to really get ourselves back to where we should be. And so we need both our own personal faith, and faith is always a personal assent, a personal statement, and we need the faith of a community, the loving support of a community, believing together, so that when the night is dark, I know that I'm not all alone. And I'm sitting up here right now in Alabama, up in a big radio studio that is in the middle of a big woods on top of a tall mountain. And if I were out here at night, I think I'd feel pretty scared. I would like to know that there are people here with me, people who know the way, who, when I get lost, can help me to find it. That's the first thing the Catechism reminds us. If we are looking for the way, we don't need to look for it alone. Yes, I do need to make statements of faith. I do need to live my own life and to find my own way. But the beauty of the Church is that it provides me with a community and support and people who have been there and people who are going there now, all of whom can guide me on my way. When the night gets dark, I have some people around to help me. So it's not just a question of I believe what the Church teaches, but we believe what the Church teaches. And those two things work together. I mean, sometimes people say, well, if I join a church, if I join the Catholic Church, I'm going to lose my individuality. I'm not going to have my own path to God. I've got to just sort of take the path everybody else takes. The church says no. The church says it's not an either-or here. It's not a question of if we believe together, I don't believe by myself. Oh, no. Each of us has a path to God. And being in the church means that we share that path together, that we live together, work together, pray together, play together, cry together, laugh together, believe together. All of us, according to our individual personality and our individual lights. Remember what Cardinal Newman said? Cardinal Newman said, I am created to do something or to be something for which no one else is created. I have my mission. Well, it's true. I have my mission. I'm unique. I'm irreplaceable. And the church reminds us that my mission is set within that larger mission of the people who believe with me, the people who are the church, the people who walk with me on this journey to God. And it's both. I have my journey, we have our journeys, and they work together. So when we say man is made in the image and likeness of God, as is so often repeated in the Catechism, we mean all of us, all of humankind. But we also mean me. I am made in the image and likeness of God. So you see, it works both ways. I believe, we believe. We are made in the image and likeness of God. I am made in the image and likeness of God. How precious that is to think about, to reflect on, in a world that can so often seem very impersonal, in a world in which we so often can feel that we are just victims of impersonal fate. I just hope to goodness I have a good day. I hope to goodness I don't run into some bad luck. How often we hear that, how often maybe even we say it. Well, we need to remember that there is something infinitely more precious at work here. What is it? Well, the Catechism, right in the very first part of the section on profession of faith, talks about it, talks about our capacity for God. It says, the desire for God is written in the human heart because man is created by God and for God. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? Written right into the human heart is the desire for God. And the Catechism calls it a desire, but listen to what the Catechism also calls it. It calls it a capacity for God. Now, how often when you get into a jam or when I get into a jam in life, do we say, I can't. I can't get out of this. It's so dark. It's so alone. I've done it for so many years. I've gotten so far away. Not even God would forgive me. How often have we said that? It's impossible. It's so hard. Oh, I can't be holy. I can't be good. I just can't do it. What does the Catechism talk about? The Catechism talks about our capacity for God. It says that our life with God is a possibility for us. Well, sure, it's a challenge. We're going to be seeing that more and more. And sure, it's an ideal. And sure, it's something that we struggle to live up to. But primarily and fundamentally, it's a capacity. It's a possibility. It's an opportunity. An opportunity to do what? An opportunity to be what we were meant to be. The Catechism says, you and I, in the very depths of our hearts, where we are most ourselves, written right down there, is a capacity for God. We were created down there by God, and we were created for God. Wow, what an exciting thing that is to think about, huh? Deep down in the bottom of my heart, where sometimes I just feel so very dark and very alone, I and created for God. So instead of despair, and instead of desolation, and instead of impossibility, what do I have? I have possibility. I can find God down underneath all of that desolation, all of that depression, all of that stuff that gets in the way down underneath, all of that, the Catechism says, I can find God. Why? Because I was made for God, and I was made by God. Goodness knows, the one who made me is the one who knows how to pull me through. And you know what else the Catechism says right in this very section where it talks about our profession of faith? It says that this one who made me, this God who made me, doesn't just make me and throw me out on the assembly line, throw me out in the world and say goodbye. It says he is constantly, constantly calling to me, talking to me, revealing to me who I am meant to be. But, you know, it's even more wonderful than that, because not only is he telling me whom I am meant to be, the Catechism says he reveals his plan of loving goodness. Wow. It's not as though God just says, I'm going to tell you a secret. I'm going to tell you who you are, but I'm not going to tell you anything else. No, God gives me the whole thing. God tells me not only who I am, but he says, let me take you backstage. Let me take you right to the creation of the world, and I will show you why and how I made the world the way I did. Because I love it, and I want to share it with you, and I want to show it to you, and I want you to know that I love you so much that I'll share all of my secrets with you. You know, it's really great right now. I love radio stations. It's really great to get behind the scenes at a radio station. I listen to this station at home, and I today get to come here and see behind the scenes. Well, that's what God does with us as well. He says, I'm not just going to let you listen to life. I'm not just going to tell you about you. I'm going to tell you about life itself and what the whole thing is all about. And the way in which God does that is through his revelation. God's revelation is telling you and me what the whole plan is all about and how we fit in, you and I, into that wonderful plan that he has for us and for all the world. Okay, how does he do it? How does he tell us? Well, first of all, right within the beginning, right within creation itself, God was constantly revealing his plan, the beauty of his plan. My goodness, we read those wonderful Bible readings from Genesis, or we read St. John's reflection in the prologue to his gospel about creation. And we find that one of the things God loves to do is to create, to take what was not there before and to bring something and make it be there. And God is so excited about his creation. Everything he sees, everything he makes, he looks at it and he loves it and he says, this is good. This is very good. And he just wants to make more and more and more. And everything he makes, he wants to make something that's even bigger and better than that, and more alive. And then he wants to share all of that with the last thing that he just made until he gets down to us, to Adam and Eve, and gets down to you and me. He wants to share it all with us. I mean, didn't St. Paul tell us that? All things are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. How much more succinctly than that could you possibly say it? In the beginning, in the very act of creation, God started sharing the plan. Oh, and what a beautiful plan it was. But then, of course, man destroyed that plan through original sin. But even then, God didn't stop trying to make that plan work, trying to heal it, trying to bring it back to what he wanted it to be. So he established a covenant with Noah after the flood, a covenant that said, I will never again destroy the earth because I just love you too much and I don't want to destroy anything. I want to build up. And God never, ever repealed that covenant with Noah. And he chose Abraham and he formed Israel and He called to Moses in the burning bush and gave him the law, and he formed Israel as the priestly people of God. And then he brought up the prophets to form his people in the hope of salvation. And finally, God so wanted to share the plan that he brought his only Son, the Son of God, the Word through whom he made the universe, to become Christ Jesus, the mediator in the fullness of all revelation. And that word that God so beautifully and freely gave us in Christ Jesus, that word is the word that he shared everything with. He shared himself completely with before there was any time or creation or anything else. And he took that word and put it down in our world. And I suppose he could have just sent any Savior if he'd wanted to, but he sent that word. He didn't want to just save us. He wanted to tell us everything because he just loves us so much. Now, that's revelation. That's what it is, God telling us how much he loves us. And we have that revelation. It's transmitted to us in the Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, we call it, and the New Testament. But it's also transmitted to us through the apostles, through their preaching and writing and in what we call the apostolic tradition, and continued down in the succession of apostles that Jesus arranged for while he was here on earth. So not only did he want that word, that telling, to be something that lasted while he was alive and then kind of faded out, but he made arrangements for it to continue. And So much so, that he created a church. And it's the magisterium, it's the teaching authority of the church. The bishops and Peter's successor, our holy fathers down through the centuries, and our present holy father today, that keep that telling happening. That's how God continues to reveal to us, continues to tell us, the things that we need to know in order to be able to live our lives and to be happy. So when we read a document like the Catechism of the Catholic Church, or we hear a talk about Catholic doctrine, it's not just some dry kind of thing that is so far above our heads that we can do nothing with it. Every bit of doctrine, every bit of the Bible, everything that the Church teaches, right down to the very last ex cathedra teaching in the Catholic Church, which we have just had very recently, is God's way of revealing to us his whole plan of salvation and how we fit into that, you and I. So in an age in which we are constantly hearing that we can't know the meaning of life, the Church is saying to us, Come, we will teach you the meaning of life. And when you learn it, and when you learn to hear it, and when you learn to listen to it as a living word within the very depths of your soul, you will come to know how much this God is a living God and how very much he wants to continue to talk to you about your life. That's why the Church teaches us and says, don't despair. Don't despair. Don't give up. St. Paul says in the letter to the Romans that everything that is written down for us in the Scriptures was meant to give us hope and encouragement. And indeed, it's true. Everything that we read when we read the Scriptures, everything that we hear through the apostolic tradition, everything that we come to through the teaching of the authority of the Church, the magisterium, is meant to encourage us. It's meant to be another sign of God's love for us. It's meant to remind us that in a busy, noisy world where we often get on the wrong path and forget, God is still talking to us. God is still revealing his love to us. God is still revealing to you and to me the opportunities that exist in the very depths of our hearts and souls. Our hearts were made for thee, O Lord, and they will never rest until they rest in thee. I am created to do something or to be something for which no one else is created. I have my mission. I believe that I'm not alone. We believe. Because I am here on earth not simply to do my own thing. There's no happiness in that. Really, when you stop to think about it. I also have to ask questions about how I relate to the rest of the universe. What about the other guy? What about my neighbor? What about my enemy? What about somebody in another culture or another country? What about someone in need? What about somebody who kills someone that I love? What do I do when I lose someone I love? What do I do when I do something that is so horrendous that I feel that not even God could love me? What do I do when I feel so alone in the night and I don't know where to turn? What I do is to come within the depths of my own heart to the voice of the living God. And in order to prime that pump, I come to what God has always provided. In the beauty of His creation, in the wonder of His revelation, in Jesus Christ, in the teaching of the apostles, in the apostolic tradition, and in the teaching of the church. It's a constant call our Lord gives us. Come to me, come to me. Don't be alone, don't be afraid. I am here. Let me reveal to you what I so want to tell you, what your true possibilities really are.
Thank you for joining us today for the Spirituality of the Catholic Church with Father Paul Keenan. You may write to Father Keenan in care of the Office of Communications, Diocese of New York, 1011 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10022.